All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I have a very interesting guest, and I'm going to say it's controversial because I'm one foot in, one foot out. I like to pride myself in the sense that I bring all things to the table. I have a very open mind. I have Ismael Perez with me today, and we're going to be talking about the Galactic Federation. He has researched this extensively for over 20 years. He's the author of the book Our Cosmic Origin, which is a bestseller. It's a bestseller. And you say you're an awakened starseed, correct?
Correct.
I got all that right.
Yes, you did.
All right, cool. Because before we get into this, you know, I always put a disclaimer up. I'm like, look, folks, I just bring things to the table. I have a very open mind. I'm asking my audience to have an open mind. And give my guest respect. I have a lot of Christian. A big Christian audience, and this they will chalk this up to New Age, or you know what I mean. So first of all, how would you respond to that if they come on here? Ah, I'm not going to even listen to this. It's all New Age junk, jumbo. What do you have to say to that?
Well, you know, I do like to quote the Bible. There's a lot of metaphysical and hidden knowledge within the Bible, written on many different levels of understanding. It's a perfect book, written in an allegorical form where it has the deep knowledge, you know. And if you read the first five books in the Bible, guys, you know, it's all about extraterrestrials. You know, let me give you an example. When Ezekiel describes wheels within wheels that was feeding him, downstreaming him information, those are, you know, starships. When the Israelites were led by a star during the night and by a cloud during the day in their exodus from the Egyptian slavery, those were, again, spaceships, you know. And then, of course, when you look at pictures like of Mary Magdalene, you know, there's that famous picture where there's like a ship behind her. So, you know, the entire Old Testament reveals, you know, the truth about extraterrestrials and stuff. And let's go back to the book of Genesis. You know, the book of Genesis, I mean, it's clearly revealed there. You know, when they say, let us go down and make man in our image, it's us. Let us go down and make man in our image. Well, they're talking about the
our in plural.
In plural, exactly. In plural. And so what the Bible does is it takes phrases like Elohim, which is plural, which means the different, you know, celestial races out there, whether you call them extraterrestrials, you know, whether you call them angels. I mean, these are all emissaries of God. And one of the things, David, that I point out in my book is that, you know, every extraterrestrial civilization out there, most of them are humanoid, meaning that they have the human-like appearance, and they were all made in the image of the one God. So it does tie in, you know, to a lot of the Christian principles, but it involves advanced, you know, many worlds, advanced civilizations, other dimensions, and now that we have quantum physics, you know, they are talking about multiple universes. And so what I did in my book is I kind of just interwove it everything together. You know, I bridged the gap between ancient metaphysical knowledge, the concept of these other dimensional beings, and of course, you know, all the evidence that is now coming forward through the avenues of quantum physics to explain the bigger picture. That's why I call my book Our Cosmic Origin, because it reveals information that has been literally omitted from all records, David, for thousands of years in order to keep us locked into this linear reality, you know, and that's why they've always controlled us through our perception, through our consciousness. You know, it's really a war on consciousness that, you know, everything boils down to. Yeah. They don't want people to wake up. So when I consider, when I think about this awakening process that has been taking place, David, you know, there's different levels and layers of it. You know, I would say that the first layer is coming to understand that there is something sinister going on in this world. You know, they've infiltrated every level, right? The educational system, you know, the medical system, you know, obviously, this, you know, the financial system, the governments, it's all controlled, you know, but what many call the deep state, a cabal. And there's a lot of evidence to that. But in turn, what I've come to discover, David, is that the cabal themselves are also controlled by an off-world race that many call the reptilians. And there is a lot of evidence for that. You know,
you agree with what David Icke says, basically. I just had David Icke as a guest, and he preaches this, the reptilians, the reptilian agenda. You agree with that?
To an extent, yeah. See, the thing about David Icke, I like David Icke, by the way. I think he was one of the pioneers in bringing forth a lot of this deeper knowledge. But he fails to mention the good, benevolent ETs, because just like, you know, there's light and dark in everything, just like how we have a cabal and we have a white hat or Earth Alliance. Well, there's also negative ETs, which are characterized or reflected in the form of the reptilians, the grays, you know, these negative races. And then we also have the benevolent positive races, such as the Pleiadians, you know, the Lyrans, the Syrians, the Arcturians. There's good and evil on every level of reality. And we are dealing with multidimensionals. And the Bible, again, I'm going to quote the Bible. The Bible says, you know, we are not at war with flesh and blood. We are at war with powers and principalities that are not of this realm, that are not of this world. Well, basically, what the Bible is alluding to is the fact that the real war is not against the cabal, although on a, you know, our level of reality, it seems like we're at war with these, you know, these deep staters, these globalists.
Purely three-dimensional.
Which is purely three-dimensional. But considering the fact that through quantum physics, there is evidence that we exist that there are other dimensions out there. We're really at war, you know, technically with the reptilian races. Now, I would like to make a distinction. When the Bible describes the reptilians, I mean, the fallen angels, the demons, let's call them demonic forces. It describes them with what? Scaly skin, you know, tails, horns, and slit snake eyes, vertical eyes, okay? That is exactly the characteristics and features of a reptilian. So what the Bible did is the Bible condensed all the different dimensions into one wavelength, and this had a lot to do with Constantine and the Council of Nicaea to kind of lock us into just one realm, one level of reality, while excluding the bigger picture, okay? So the reptilians are described down to the T. The demons in the Bible are the reptilians, okay? The angels in the Bible are the benevolent, positive ET races, like the Pleiadians, like the Lyrans, like the Syrians. You know, there are so many of them, Andromedans. I mean, we could go on and on.
But aren't human beings mixed with reptilian DNA?
To an extent, yes.
Or is that just one? Is that, no, I could be wrong here, but is that Cain's bloodline?
Absolutely, brother.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's Cain's bloodline that is mixed with the reptilian DNA, and actually, human beings have intermixed. So, could you say all of us are now intermixed with reptilian DNA?
Well, we have a small concentration of reptilian DNA. However, the ruling families, those that have been in power, okay, the powers that were, because their time is up, have been suffering from a high concentration of reptilian genetics. So we could actually say that these cabal families, whatever you want to call them, they are actually a human reptilian hybrid race that could be traceable all the way to Orion, which is where the reptilians originated. And that's one of the things that I reveal in my book is the fact that the war here between the Y-hats and who are, by the way, are the descendants of the Pleiadians and the Lyrans, by the way, and, you know, the cabal is a war that could be traceable all the way to the Galactic Wars, a war that has been going on within our Milky Way, David, and in other galaxies for millions of years, you know.
And I guess the main, what I would say, the biggest enemy in all this would be AI.
Oh, absolutely. Because according to my research, and this is also proven and validated by.
Can I just say one thing, though, about AI? That I just a little side note here. I had a vision of an AI. Have you ever seen, Never Ending Story, where they talk about the nothing that eats up everything and leaves the nothing. I picture the AI like that going, and I had a vision, and this is just a little fun side note here, of AI being that way, of eating up galaxies and leaving it for nothing, eating up galaxies and leaving it for nothing, because once it takes over the biological organism and they turn it into AI, it's theirs now. They own that. It's all theirs and it's done forever, correct? I mean, once AI takes over, it's done. And that's who you're really in war with, correct?
Absolutely, because it turns out that even the reptilians themselves from Orion are controlled by this AI. And the AI has been an issue across the entire universe. Okay, I'm going to be real. Across the entire multiverse. I know for some people, when I mention multiverse, that might sound a little woo-woo, but I mean, just study quantum physics. It's all there. Super string theory, M theory, unified field theory, gravity theory. All the new evidence through the realm of quantum physics is telling us that there are multiple universes, okay?
Would they be frequencies, different frequencies vibrating at certain frequencies that is dimensions would be frequencies, correct?
Well, each universe does have its own frequency, of course, but each universe in turn is divided into 12 different sub-vibrations or sub-frequencies. So for instance, David, our universe exists in 12 different dimensions, and scientists have only recently discovered, I think, up to 9 or 10. And that goes only all the way up to the galaxies, because when they're using their instruments, the astronomers, to pierce into the cosmos, and they only see galaxies, everything else seems dark beyond the galaxies. But all they're doing, David, is piercing into the 4%. The other 96%, they call dark matter and dark energy. And that's another anomaly or mystery to the scientists. You know, they don't understand what is in this dark matter and dark energy. Well, I've come to discover that within this dark matter and dark energy, there are other universes. You know, the galaxies are just a small fractal of these bigger levels of reality. It turns out that our universe, like a bubble, when you think of like soap bubbles, is one of many universes. And this doesn't necessarily negate the fact that, you know, that there is no God. In fact, this proves, David, the existence of an intelligent designer, because every universe, like a computer software, has a blueprint in which it is following some sort of cosmic DNA in which everything unfolds, you know, allowing for the right precise circumstances for life to exist in. And so that's why I don't believe
that's what I was going to say, that the human DNA is the cosmic blueprint, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. As above, so below, you know? And so, I've come to discover that everything is being developed by a higher power, whether you call it God, you know, whether you call it the universal architect. All ultimately, David, everything is by design. There is no such things as accidents. And there's also organization to the multiverse, because we do have a God. And so therefore, everything is being organized. You know, even our planet is registered within the tapestries of these universes. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. I was just watching Ancient Apocalypse on Netflix, and I was thinking to myself, you know, Graham Hancock's up there talking about how we once faced a cataclysm 10,800 years ago, whatever it was, of epic proportions that wiped out the planet. And, you know, the Maya, the Hopi, all the indigenous people all throughout time have described this as a serpent in the sky. And what he says is a comet that hits Earth and basically kind of resets Earth, right? And I've always believed we live in an intelligent universe, an intelligent solar system, planet, universe, the whole thing. He's kind of arguing, it seems to me, that this is kind of a cyclical happening and that it's just kind of random is the way I took it. And it would eliminate most people's thoughts on God, in my opinion, like that are watching this and say, oh, it's a random occurrence. I believe everything is intelligent. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I disagree with random occurrences. That's why I never agree with Darwinian theory. The truth of the matter is that there is a God, you know, whether you want to call it universal consciousness, whether you want to call it a universal architect, everything is being woven down to the T in perfect mathematical precision, Dave. You know, there are no such things as accidents. And so we also live in a conscious living universe, a sentient universe, and that is also being proven out through, again, the new evidence that's coming from the realm of quantum physics. For instance, you know, we live in a planet that is not just a ball, you know, or a rock floating in space. Our planet is sentient. It's conscious. Every living element is conscious. It's aware of itself. You know, fire, air, wind, water. It is a conscious element. You know, beyond that, we live in a galaxy that is also sentient. Our Milky Way is a conscious being at a greater level of reality. And then beyond that, David, our universe is sentient. So we live in a universe that is itself conscious and has awareness and is sentient and it has emotions. So when you consider that everything in existence is one, I'm going to use the analogy of the billions of cells. We have over 50 billion cells in our human body, but yet each cell is working together to what? To make the body operate at a functional level, right? At a greater level of reality, at a greater scale. Now, if we move up the scale, we could also say that each being out there, not just on the earth, but all the trillions of souls that exist within our local universe is also a cell within the body of our universe. And then in turn, as we move up the scale of reality, we could also assume, and this is based on my own research. I mean, people could do their own research, you know, just to let you guys know, do your own research, you know, take what resonates and what doesn't, you know, don't, but always do your research so that you could see for yourself. But I also believe that our universe is also a bigger cosmic cell with other universes that make up the motherverse. There is
so as above, so below. It's like an imprint of an imprint of an imprint of an imprint, like holographic universe.
Exactly, David. Exactly. Yeah. The holographic. Yeah, we do live in a holographic concept of reality where everything is a fractal of a fractal of a fractal. Like, for instance, let's take up the concept of the hologram. When you look at a hologram and you take a portion of that hologram, that little bite, and you magnify that portion, what do you see? The whole hologram. And then in turn, you take another portion of that portion and you magnify it. What do you see? It's always everything. Yeah, exactly. So we, in turn, are the universe at a very low scale of reality. And then in turn, this is what's going to be mind-boggling to some of your listeners. Our cells, David, our billions of cells in our body are also little universes that have all
the... Right, and it's empty space because everything is 99... The atoms are 99.9% empty. So would you say that we are living within the mind of God or maybe... at a vibration, in a conscious vibration, that's what our reality is a conscious vibration. I mean, if everything is 99.9% empty, nothing's really solid.
No, it's an illusion.
It's an illusion.
Yeah, and the only reason why it appears to be solid is because we are interfacing with this vibration through our physical bodies. Without these bodies, without our consciousness, without the observation of our five senses, it's just all wave, what they call the wave function. It's just pure energy. And when we are interfacing with this reality through our five senses, like David Icke says, we collapse the wave function into a particle. It becomes solid physical form. And that I do agree with. And that, again, this is all coming from, you know, the new evidence through the new science, through quantum physics. I mean, the way I see it, David, is that quantum physics is actually forcing us to reevaluate everything that we've ever been taught about our existence. You know,
like you were saying about the wave theory and particle theory is, isn't it only so or it only exist as long as there's an observer?
Exactly. So,
right. So if there's an observer, it'll do something different every time it's observed. That's electrons, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
That's an amazing, to me, that shows its consciousness.
It is consciousness.
If it realizes it's being observed and changes its function every time it's observed, shows to me that we are living in a very conscious universe.
Absolutely, David. And that's one of the things that, conflicting with the accepted scientific conventional viewpoint of reality. So right now, as I speak, David, there's a huge schism going within the academic community where like the old scientists, you know, let's just say the scientists are controlled by, you know, the cabal, right? Because even science is controlled by the cabal. They want to keep us in a very narrow, very limited range of reality. They want to keep us stuck into this third dimension. They don't want us to become multidimensional because the moment, David, we become multidimensional, guess what? The matrix dissolves and humans become free and humans begin to see things for what they really are. So I'd like to quote the movie The Matrix. You know, when Morpheus was telling Neo, it's not a prison. We're not in a prison, a physical prison that you could touch, like bars and walls and cell, you know, like in a cell. It is a prison of your consciousness. And the moment you come to discover that this is it's a living simulation. You know, you free yourself from this reality, this, you know, whatever you want to call it, this oppression, and then you become free. And that's the truth of the matter is that it is a prison of our consciousness. So the moment we expand our consciousness through the awakening, through becoming aware of, you know, of what's really out there, we begin to see beyond this limited controlled perceptual range of reality. In other words, so, because, you know, we're only perceiving the 1% in the full spectrum of reality. And again, this is proven through quantum physics. We're only perceiving the 1%. The other 99%, or what they call the other 96%, rather, is reality vibrating at frequencies beyond the what they call the ultraviolet and the infrared. So we're only stuck within that little range, which is only like 4%. Yeah.
So where does the Galactic Federation fit into all this? Let's get to that. Where does that, you know, I've always, you know, a lot of my audience will argue, no, all angels are, you know, they're all, you know, all aliens are fallen angels. They're all, it's all deception, what you're preaching right now, because I'm going to get that. I'm going to get it. Now, they're going to email me and tell me these things. So, you know, I just want people to have an open mind. But where does the Galactic Federation fit into all this? Are they right now trying to free humanity from this slavery and bondage?
Yes, the benevolent ETs that are associated with, it's actually now called the Galactic Alliance. They recently, within the last 6 months to a year, there was a huge infiltration by Enki, which is the Luciferian branch of the Anunnaki.
But how do we know this? How do we know this? Like, listen, I'm not discrediting you. I'm just saying, how do we know this? I mean, where's the proof in this?
Right. I can
watch every episode of Star Trek, read every book on Star Trek, and tell you everything that happened within Star Trek and bring it onto my platform and say, this is fact. I'm just saying, how do we know this is true?
Okay. The best way to describe this is that the angels in the Bible I consider them the benevolent races that are operating at higher dimensions beyond human. The demons in the Bible, the fallen angels, are the reptilians. So within our universe, there's two categories of ETs. There are the reptilians and then the humanoids. And then there's also all kinds of biological specimens that are, you know, feline type, that are kind of like bird-like, that are, you know, I mean, for every animal that we have, David, we have the exact or replica of a hominid body and the head of an animal, okay? So what the Galactic Federation is and was the a galactic alliance of different interstellar societies. And what I mean by that, an interstellar society is a civilization of a type two. So right now we're type zero. There's type one, two, and three. A type two is a civilization that is already using free energy devices, that is already using anti-gravity aircraft, that has the ability to zoom across the entire galaxy. They have the ability to colonize other worlds, okay? So it is an alliance of all these different benevolent interstellar races that have joined together to keep the peace, to keep, justice throughout the Milky Way. Now, that's what the Galactic Federation is. And I believe, according to my research and many other contactees have proven or have validated this, that they organized themselves about 5 million years ago with when they were fighting the expanding Orion Empire. Okay, so the expanding Orion Empire was another group of aliens that were related and associated to the draconian reptilians of the of what they call the Regal and the Alpha Draconis system. So the Alpha Draconis system, or rather the reptilians of the Orion Empire, were actually trying to do what the Cabal is doing here, but on a galactic level. They were trying to bring the entire galaxy under their control. And they did, and they were given a few directives. And one of them was, David, to destroy all human life, because they know that the galactic humans were the children of the one God, okay, which is represented by the lineage of Michael. And of course, the reptilians are represented by the lineage of Lucifer. So again, you know, a lot of this was kind of like condensed in the Bible in metaphor form. So even though there is no proof of this right now, bear in mind that even organized conventional religions, guys, is controlled by, I know this is going
to
sound.
So is this simplified for everyone to understand, is what's condensed in the Bible is so that everybody can understand it?
Yes. Yeah. Just like how we have negative ETs, we also have to have positive ETs, because if all the ETs were evil, if all the ETs were demons, then there would be no God. Think about it. It would be equivalent to saying, oh, there is no angels, there's only demons. But yet we do believe it. As long as we believe in angels, we have to believe in demons, vice versa, right? So right. It's the same concept, but it's under a different terminology. You know, we there is evidence, David, that there are many advanced civilizations out there, that we are one of many worlds. And, you know, that there's many galaxies, and now they're saying that there's multiple universes. But yet they all fall under the yoke of the one God. See, the one God for all human races and sub-races that are part of that unity consciousness, which is all about like service to others. So the same principles that Jesus taught are the same principles that these positive extraterrestrials abide by. And the difference between the negative ETs and the positive ETs is that the negative ETs are all about service to self. They're all about doing what they want to do at the expense of others. And so we see how Lucifer and Michael are also tied into this, war that has been going on in our galaxy. It's just, again, a lot of this stuff was left from it was omitted from the records of the Earth because the Earth has been temporarily under the control of the negative Anunnaki, which comes from, Babylon. All roads lead to Babylon. The Babylonian god Belial, Baal, who is at the head of the Kabel, his real name was Marduk. Marduk was the son of Enki. Enki was also known as Lucifer, or he comes from the lineage of Lucifer.
Wasn't the Anunnaki the beings that came and cultivated, I've heard, that cultivated the Earth and created human beings as a slave race? That's one of the theories that's out there that I've heard.
Yes, but remember, there's two functions. Just like we have angels and demons, there's the positive Anunnaki, and then there's the negative Anunnaki. The negative Anunnaki are the ones that joined the Luciferian rebellion. And what I mean by that is that they were working for the Orion Empire, the Draco-Orion Empire. The positive Anunnaki were all not about creating a slave race. They were actually trying to uplift humanity and protect humanity. In fact, when a lot of the angels in the Old Testament that were actually guiding the Israelites, that were protecting the Israelites, were the positive Anunnaki. But, again, people don't see them like that. They just call them angels because the people who composed the Bible, which, again, were working for the Kabbalah during the fall of the Roman Empire. See, Constantine was Kabbalah. They made everything seem like it was just one world and one realm. They were trying to disconnect us from the galactic community. And that's why Earth has been under this quarantine for thousands of years, because of the infiltration of the negative Anunnaki who took over the affairs of the Earth. But their time is up, because now the Galactic Alliance, which are the positive races, right, the positive galactic humans, have already cleared our solar system and our galaxy from these reptilians. So now all they're waiting for is for the liberation of the Earth. And that's why when the Bible talks about how the last war takes place here, we are undergoing the last war against evil. But this is a war that has been going on for millions of years,
Right. And does it ever really end? I mean, doesn't it just spread to other galaxies and other universes? I mean, does it ever? I mean, maybe it's, would you say it's over just in this galaxy?
According to my research, no, it's over in all the galaxies. The entire universe, the forces of good, which are all under the direction of Michael. See, Michael is at the head of all galactic councils, by the way. I know people are going to be like, what? But Michael is at the head. From what I understand is all the negative extraterrestrials have been kind of arrested. And we are all undergoing, well, not us, but other galaxies in our Milky Way are all about to undergo what is called intergalactic and galactic tribunals. And then soon that's going to trickle down to the Earth when we hang
the third dimension.
The third dimension. Yeah. So everything starts from the higher dimensions, the house cleansing conducted by Michael, who is at the head of the galactics, and then it trickles down the dimensions. So that's why when the Bible says the last war is going to take place here on this Earth, well, that's what's happening right now. We are living in the Book of Revelation. We are living in the apocalyptic times. And to give you guys the true definition of apocalypse means a revelation, a massive revelation. It has nothing to do with the end of the world, guys. It has everything to do with information that has been left out from history for thousands of years that is now being restored. And that's what this information is all about, is bringing back this knowledge back to humanity so that we could break out of the matrix and free ourselves consciously.
You believe those are the times we're living in now? You believe we're on our way to do that?
Absolutely.
Would this have to go with and I have to say it because we're on FluffTube as the conspiracy theory. Is this have to go with when they were talking about earlier when the boogeyman hit of 2020? Everyone knows when I say the boogeyman, they know what that means. Does this have to coincide with the tunnel wars, the cleaning out of the infrastructure of the evildoers? Am I right in saying that? I mean, are we still cleaning that out right now? Or are we still cleaning out that infrastructure that the evil has put here?
Yes, it's been taking a few years because, you know, the cabal played dirty. And according to my research, they were planning to destroy 90% of the world population by detonating nuclear explosives worldwide. And it took the alliance 2 years to identify where these weapons were of mass destruction. And then, you know, just as if I believe as of December, the end of December, the alliance, the YHATs, have finally, you know, figured out where these weapons were, and they took them out. So, yeah, you know, that's what's been going on ever since 2016. The YHATs have been kind of in control, and they've been cleaning house, you know. And bear in mind that in a lot of these underground dumps, whatever you want to call them, these underground tunnels and subterranean structures, there is evidence that some of our Marines were fighting these reptilians, you know, and they couldn't understand how they were fighting these 10 to 15 foot, what they look like, you know, demons to them, or walking crocodiles.
And hold on. And people, if you think this is hogwash, what he's saying right now, mm-hmm. just go look up Philip Schneider. You know, are you familiar with Philip Schneider? He was a geologist and who was building the underground bases, and they came across an alien base. They were drilling on top of it. He went down there, and it's the legendary alien human war. Saw these creatures firsthand. Shot at one of them, injured one of them. He was hit with an electric beam, almost died. I suggest people go watch Philip Schneider. He's all over YouTube. But I firmly believe that guy's story. I believe that guy is. He had the proof of his fingers burning off. His feet were burnt off. This guy to me is very credible. You're familiar with him?
Yes, I am, and I'm also familiar with William Tompkins. And I think he's even Henry. Is it Henry O'Duncan? Forget his name. But there's been many insiders. Of course, you know, what's his name? The guy who wrote "Behold a Pale White Horse," William Cooper. Yeah, who was actually an insider. He was actually part of the Navy. You know, he was a Navy officer. And he wrote about this stuff. And many people thought he was crazy that, you know, at the deeper level of the secret shadow government, the reptilians were running the whole show, you know. And it's now coming out.
So it seems like we're a race against time right now. And it seems like we're, would you say we're at the right in the middle of the war, the beginning of the war? Are we getting close to the end of the war? Because everything that's happening right now, like to me, the deep state still seems very, very arrogant. They're still pushing forward with their agenda. It seems to me like their finish line seems to be 2030. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And that has a lot to do with the AI takeover of our planet through the transhumanist agenda, the technocratic, you know, NWO, that's what they call it. But something to bear in mind, remember how we were talking about how at the highest level of reality, we're really at war with the AI, the negative AI? Well, this invasive negative AI, you know, believe it or not, has been destroying many galaxies, just like how you said it earlier. And that's a perfect example. And they've been trying to destroy our galaxy. But luckily, because our galaxy and our universe and our planet are the you could say the chosen planet, galaxy, and universe, you know, in order to bring forth in a whole new era in cosmos, a whole new heaven and a whole new earth, has had special protection. But it doesn't mean that the AI didn't infiltrate us from within. So what we're witnessing here is we're witnessing a final showdown between the, you know, puppets that are working for the AI. So really the AI is the force, the entity behind this globalization program, you know, this idea of, you know, converting humans into cyborgs. So that's the ultimate end game, because they're after something very important. Okay, so something to note, David, is that the AI only was able to simulate all the way up to the 11th dimension. Beyond the 12th dimension, we have the realms of eternity. And in order to have access to the realms of eternity, you have to have the source code. And guess who has the source code? The source code? We on the earth.
Is it our soul?
No, it's within our DNA.
Wow. So that's what would make sense, what this is all about. Exactly. Trying to corrode our DNA.
Exactly.
Am I right? I mean, we can't say it, but that's what it would seem plausible to think that would be it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. So what's your thoughts on CERN? Because there's a lot of scientists out there trying to create this antimatter, the God particle. They're in a race to find this. Does this all have to do with what you just said right now?
Yes. Yes. Even CERN's being controlled by the AI.
Okay.
Yeah. The AI has been trying to use CERN for the last 20 years to throw us into an alternative reality, to destroy us through, you know, by imploding. Again, the dark matter, or not the dark matter, the antimatter to achieve is very powerful enough to destroy our entire solar system and, in fact, our entire galaxy. But because we do have benevolent forces that are, you know, higher dimensional, they're also assisting us from behind the scenes. So just like how the white hats are fighting the cabal on the third dimensional level of reality, we also have forces of light, whether you call them aliens or positive extraterrestrials or angels, that are also assisting us. It's a multidimensional warfare, David. So for the last 20 years, CERN and its ultimate purpose of CERN was to alternate us into an alternative universe where the AI takes over. And at the same time, they've been gathering information from these other parallel realities. You know, they're trying to pretty much rip a hole in the fabric of space and time in order to suck us into an alternative universe where there are no white hats, where there are no forces of light. But luckily,
hell, it's like hell. It would be hell. It'd probably be the void of God, correct?
Yeah, and they were also trying to open up portals in order to bring in some more of this AI, some more of these negative entities that have destroyed other galaxies. But again, those portals are being safeguarded by ultra dimensional beings that are operating all the way from the fifth dimension to the 12th dimension, beyond the galactic lines, by the way.
Aren't portals opened as well by mass shootings or harvests that these occultists do, these rituals? Aren't those portals that doesn't that open up portals?
In some cases, yes. When, you know, through the child sacrifice, through the rituals that they've been doing. And by the way, when they sacrifice these children, they're sacrificing the cabal. That is, when they sacrifice these children, they sacrifice them to Moloch and to Belial, you know, who are the negative Anunnaki, the negative ETs that have been running our world. But yeah, you're right. When they do these rituals, they're trying to open up portals. But again, you know, the forces of light are not going to let that happen, because this world is the most important planet, David. The most important planet.
Well, this is it. This is the Casino Royale. This is like the center. What, of the center of the universe would be our Earth? Is it?
It's actually the center of the multiverse. This Earth was picked way before its conception, David, to be the intergalactic hub of many galaxies and universes, to be, you know, this showcase planet. And let me tell you why. And I know this might sound a little woo-woo to some of your listeners, but we are the ultimate masterpiece of our creator. And the reason being is because within our DNA, we actually have genomes that have come from across the entire universe and put into one spot. So we are the ultimate hybrid race of all the other humans out there that have existed prior to us throughout the entire universe. And that's what makes us different, because our potential, our genetic potential, David, is greater than any other galactic human and any other extraterrestrial. And they even believe that our potential is greater than the angels and the archangels themselves. And that explains
why they're so jealous.
That's why they're so jealous. And that explains why, both positive and negative ETs have been coveting our DNA. And that explains the gray abductions, right? The negative aliens that have been abducting humans when they made a pact with the shadow government back in the 50s. That was supposed to end in the 90s. And these grays, who are, you know, working for the reptilians, broke the treaty. And they continued abducting humans up until last year, I believe.
Because the big possession, the golden possession, is our DNA. They
is
work.
Our DNA. Yeah. Our
now
DNA
I've heard that the grays abduct humans because they're trying to acquire the soul, right? I've heard soul energy, or they're trying to figure out a way that they can make these hybrids where they also have a soul and they can live on for eternity. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Because let me tell you the truth about the grays. The grays, millions of years ago, were human, and they were infiltrated by AI. Okay, again, this war against AI goes billions of years back, even before the conception and inception of our own universe. And so, what ended up happening was the surviving grays, in their planet, that I believe the planet was called Apex, it was also in Lyra. They went into the underground, and in order for them to prevent this war from taking place again, they realized that the war was based on emotional conflict. So they decided to do away with their emotional self by what? By taking away their sexual organs. And the only way they were reproducing was through cloning and integrating.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can see that happening now. The conditioning into transgender, transhumanism, that's all going to make us all one sex.
Exactly. That's part of the Luciferian, again, reptilian agenda. Well, ultimately, it's part of the AI agenda, because even the reptilians are controlled by AI. Yeah.
That makes complete sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. When you say you're a contactee, right? I think a galactic contactee.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to, and you're an awakened starseed. People are going to be, okay, a lot of people are going to say, now that sounds woo-woo, that sounds batshit crazy. Explain that to myself, to me, and to my audience, what that means. You're saying that you're a galactic contactee and you're an awakened starseed. I mean, aren't we all basically starseeds?
Yes, we're all, you know, every soul is a fragment of God. You know, every soul is part of the oversoul of God, you know, in a sense where we're all one. The difference between a starseed and a non-starseed is that a starseed is an advanced soul. It's a soul that has already ascended to the, you know, all the way up to the 12th dimension. And so that soul took the call to come back to the third dimension in order to help the planet ascend. And the first waivers, according to Dolores Cannon, who was the first one to coin the term starseed, was in the 50s and 60s, you know. And what they are is they're advanced souls, whether you call them angels, whether you call them celestials, whether you call them benevolent ETs. That's what we are. We are advanced souls.
Indigo children.
Indigo children, rainbow children, crystal children. There's so many terminologies to describe this higher influx of souls that have been coming in since the 50s. So for instance, me and you, I'm in my mid-40s. I would say you're probably mid-40s.
Yeah.
So we came in the second wave. The second wave came in the late 60s all the way to 1980. And then after 1980, we had the third wave that came in until the year 2000. And then now we had the millennials. And then, you know, so now we're witnessing the fourth wave coming in large numbers. And that explains why a lot of these children are very in tune. You know, they know things. They're so advanced. You know, they're so connected to spirit. And some of them are even psychic and telepathic.
Is that why they're trying to trap them into AI?
Exactly. Yeah. Well,
I mean, they're all on their phones. They're all on their iPads. I mean, it seems to me like they're already being trapped.
They're trying to. Yes, they're trying to. But then again, this is where this bifurcation of timelines takes place through an event that is known as the solar flash. I know.
Well, okay, I've talked about that with Danian Brinkley. That is set to happen, I guess. Well, what he said, 2025 is a solar event or a solar flash is set to happen. What, that humanity makes a shift? Some make it, some don't. And that's exactly when the division of the two timelines happen.
Yes. Yes. So there's going to be a timeline split of worlds. And this is not a physical split. It is a vibrational split, since everything is energy. We've already established that. So it is a split of vibrational frequencies, where one Earth goes off into the fourth and fifth dimension, and then another Earth goes off into the technocratic AI takeover of the one world government. And so for those that are aligning to the concept of trying to become immortal through the merging of technology, which many people are already signing up, Silicon Valley is leading the way. You know, they want to become immortal. Yeah, exactly. And that too. They're going to be going into an alternative timeline, which, again, a lot of that had to do with CERN and the activities that have been going on with CERN for the last 25
years.
So we're
coexisting right now with these two realities. It's a coexistence. And then when this solar flash happens that you and Danin has spoken of on my show before, that's going to be the divide. Are we going to notice we've divided? Are we going to notice it even happened? Or is it going to be something that's subtle? Or is it going to, or when it happens, we're not going to know. We're just going to be off in that other timeline. We're going to assume everyone came with us, and whoever went to the old Earth, let's say that paradigm, are they going to assume everyone went with them? Is it going to be something that we notice? Are we going to be like, how is that going to happen? Do you have any idea?
Well, it's already splitting, but it's going to come to a point where it's going to split completely, where they will no longer coexist. And this is actually related to the concept of the rapture, where, you know, you have two men in the field. One man disappears and the other one stays. Well, the man that stays is because he ascended into the new earth. All right. And the man that leaves is because he went into the alternative timeline. It is the same concept.
This is very important, because this helps me understand it a bit a bit easier for the way you're explaining it right now. So when this, I've always thought about this, when this shift happens, it's an instant, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's an instant. And then all of a sudden, boom, we're off. We're completely divided. It like cuts the umbilical cord from this coexistence, correct?
Absolutely.
So then that old world goes into the technocracy.
Technocracy.
The new world goes into the fifth dimension, correct?
Yeah, where there is no AI, there is no chemtrails, there is no, you know, none of the poisons that they're giving us right. through the GMOs and all that stuff. Everything goes back to the organic way of life, back to the natural order of things, where the earth is still, you know, the trees, the natural habitat are restored again, because we've destroyed one third, or no, almost one half of the earth's natural habitat due to industrialization, right? All that's going to be restored. You know, the ecosystem is going to be restored. We're going to actually be breathing fresh air for the first time. And at the same time, you know, our bodies are going to be upgraded. And this is in the Bible, too. The Bible talks about how we're going to be inheriting celestial bodies. See, right now we're using carbon-based DNA. Those are called terrestrial bodies. When we shift into the new earth, our bodies are going to transform into a crystalline DNA structure that is going to actually increase our lifespan. And that's what the Bible talks about when it says that we're going to be inheriting celestial bodies and death will be no more. We're not going to experience death or aging ever again.
So right now is like the harvest. This is, they're trying to take as many souls as they can with them to that, exactly. that paradigm, that technocracy, that, you know, where do you feel Elon Musk fits into this, man? He's a confusing figure.
Oh, very confusing. You know,
well, I would imagine if he's promoting this Neuralink, that goes with that paradigm.
Exactly. But at the same time, he's supposedly took over, you know, one of the platforms in order to what? To start dropping Intel, right?
You could do 90% good and that 10% bad is all it takes.
Exactly. So, you know, I really don't know much about what his true agenda is, but I do disagree with Neuralink. I do disagree with all the big tech companies. In fact, big tech is leading the way, you know, it's into this technocratic takeover of our world.
Wow. Do you have the book with you?
I do, actually. Yeah, it's right here. Our Cosmic Origin, Revealing Humanity's True Celestial Origin as Made in the Image of the One God. Again, revealing a multidimensional existence, revealing the greater organization of cosmos and Earth's place in the multiverse. And for those that are interested in falling deep into the rabbit hole and expanding their mind beyond this third dimensional world, you could actually order my book. What I could do is I could give you my website and people could just order it through my website, if it's okay with you.
Your website?
It is ourcosmicorigin.com, one word. Ourcosmicorigin.com.
Ourcosmicorigin.com.
Yeah.
And so you can get it straight from there. This isn't on Amazon or anything like that?
No, it's on Amazon, but okay. I would love if people got the second edition, which is a new updated version. It's totally been rearranged. It explains things a lot better. And then I also added another chapter regarding what happens after the ascension as we go into the millennium, into the, you know, heaven on earth phase. So if they go through my website, they click the A for Amazon, and then they are able to get the new updated version. Otherwise, if they go through Amazon, they're still going to ship them out the old version, and you don't want the old version. You want the new version, which is a purple cover. So the only way to get my new version is through my website, of course.
Do you agree with Danian's assessment that it's going to be the 2025 that this cosmic flash happens? Or is there any date that we could put it on? Do we just not know the date? Or would you say we are in the window? Or when's the date?
Well, you know, about 10 years ago, when I was writing my book, Nino, I was getting revelations of between 2020 and 2024. But as I continue to see how things are unfolding, and things are constantly changing due to this timeline war. Again, you know, time travel is real. I know people are like, oh, that's a little sci-fi. And seeing how, you know, they're trying to promote Agenda 2030, I'm starting to think that it's probably going to take place between now and the next 8 years. Yeah. So between now and 2030. Now, I don't necessarily give the exact date or time because nobody really knows. And he or she who does give an exact date and time is just BSing you. You know, the truth of the matter is that it's supposed to happen similar to a thief in the night, unexpected like that. And again, you know, a lot of the information in the book ties into the Bible, you know, ties into the Bible, while at the same time, it integrates cutting edge science and spirituality, explaining the bigger picture. So I would say, I don't know the time, but we are living in that time frame. So it's just best to be prepared. It could happen now. It could happen in 2024, 2025, but I say by no later than 2030.
Beautiful. Ismael Perez, everybody. Hey, folks, use your discernment. I lay it out for everyone to play it out. Ismael, I appreciate you joining me. I think this made FluffTube, so I'll put it up on FluffTube. Folks, go to Our Cosmic Origin. I'll put it in the link. I'll put it in the description box below. Ismael, thanks for joining, man. You're welcome anytime on my platform, bro. I loved it.
Thank you, David. I appreciate your time as well, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. God bless, homie.
You too. Take care.